All right, what's cracking, everybody? So, new video. This video was inspired by a question in the comment section. So, one of my viewers had asked me, "Whatever happened to my crimies?" Right, and there's been several times where I said, you know, what my crimies did. But I'm going to tell you guys a story. And for me to tell this story, I think I got to start from the very beginning. So I caught my murder on a Saturday. Saturday, I mean, excuse me, Sunday. It was on a Sunday. My bad. Sunday, June 27th, 1993. I wasn't supposed to even be at the barbecue that I wound up going to that day. It was a very, 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 very last minute thing, right? And you know what? I'm gonna tell the whole thing. It's gonna be long, guys, so bear with me. I had been at the pad, and my daughter's mom was had morning sickness, and she was at the pad with me. And one of my so-called homeboys at the time, he calls me. And he's like, "Hey, homie, hey, come to Oak Park, homie. So homies are here. You know, the homie baptized his son, and you know, there's a bunch of us here chilling, free beer. You know, we got a bunch of, you know." And I was like, "You know what? Hey, I'm gonna kick it with my lady today." So he's like, "All right," hung up. And then a few hours later, my road dog calls, right? Chino. Chino calls me. He's like, "Hey, we're over here in the snat." And I'm like, "Hey, homie, I'm good, eh? You know, my lady's not feeling good, so I'm gonna kick it." He's like, "Oh, you're being a pussy, this snat." "Yeah, whatever else. I'll holler at you." Hung up. And right after that, my daughter's mom was like, "I'm gonna go to my mom's," and this and that. And I wasn't allowed there. And so I got in my feelings. You know what I mean? When she left, I got in my feelings. And then my righteous road dog from when we were kids, Muggsy, shows up. And he's like, "Hey, where are the homies at?" And I said, "Well, there's a bunch of them at Oak Park right now, eh? You know, they got a keg, bunch of free beer. You wanna go?" He's like, "Let's go." I said, "All right." So I knew we were going to be drinking, so I went and told my mom, "Hey, mom, do me a favor, drop me and Caesar off." That was Muggsy, my road dog. "Drop me and Caesar off at Oak Park." And she was doing telemarketing, and she goes, "Well, let me make a few more calls, and then I'll drop you guys off." I was like, "All right, cool." But I had this weird feeling, you know, and so I go out to the front. We lived in a back house, so we're in front of our pad, which is behind another pad. And it was weird because as soon as I went out there, Muggsy was like, "Hey, you know what, fool? Hey, let's just kick it." And I was like, "What do you mean, let's just kick it?" He goes, "I don't know, fool. Something don't feel right." So we argued back and forth, and then he just said, "You know what, homie? I'm gone. Hey, I'm gonna go to my pad." And, you know, and I was like, "Ah, you acting like a pussy, you know." And he's like, "Call it what you want to." And he jumped on his bike and he took off. Right after that, my mom comes out and she's like, "Where's Caesar?" And I said, "Oh, he's fucking pussy whoop, you know, whoop." I start talking shit. And she goes, "Well, you still want to go?" And I said, "Yeah." So we go. And there used to be a park in Oak Park, a part of the park we used to call the Chimney. And that's where we were always at. So we drove by the chimney, and there was people there, but I did not see one of my homeboys. And my mom was like, "Are you sure this is where they're gonna be? There's nobody there." And I was like, "That's what they said." So we take off, and I go start from the beginning again. We went through the horseshoe pits, boom, drove all the way around. But the second time, nobody that we could recognize was there. So I had a homeboy that lived around the corner from there, and I tell my mom, "Drive over there. Let me ask Mondo what's going on." So we go over there, and I knock on Mondo's door, and he's like, Ames, you going to the park right now? I'm gonna be over there in Oak Park. And I was like, there's nobody there. And he's like, fool, I just walked Mookie. Mookie was his dog. He goes, I just walked Mookie. It's a gang of homies over there right now. And I was like, fool, I just think he was like, you're tripping. So I tell my mom, I jump back in the car, I tell my mom, go one more time. We go again, and sure enough, there's a group of homies there, you know? So I get out of the car and I walk over to him, and it was weird because my homeboys were like, hey, what the fuck were you guys doing? And I go, what do you mean? They go, homie, we were whistling, we were jumping up and down, waving our arms, and it was like you kept shining the sun. Weird, right? So anyway, so I did, you know, I stayed, you know, whatever happened, happened. And then, you know, later I wound up killing somebody that really didn't have it coming. The next morning, so that was on a Sunday, June 27th. June 28th, I went to work. I was co-owner of a general maintenance company. It was my dad, me, and my cousin. We were all the owners. And they put me on the license as an owner just to try to keep me out of trouble, you know, and my decision making wasn't gonna allow for that, you know. So, like I said, the 28th, I went to work. We went to do some repairs on a house on the east side. On the 29th, I decided I wasn't gonna work that day. And my daughter's mom and I, we went to the beach. We went to Henry's Beach. Arroyo Burro, that's the name of the beach out here. They call it Henry's Beach. We went over there, and I remember looking out at the ocean, and I remember thinking, man, I ain't gonna let these fools take me back to jail. If I get picked up for this, I'm gonna make the hood I smoke me. But my daughter's mom knew because I had mentioned to it. I mentioned it to her, right? So I was trying to tell her, hey, Jam. She's like, nah, I ain't going nowhere. So, anyways, we drive back to my mom's. That's where I was staying at the time. Remember, I had just paroled. And while we were there, it was a phone call, and somebody asked for me by my nickname. Nobody calls a pad like that. Anyway, so the Huras rush us. Right? It was a task force that had been hiding all up and down the block, surrounded the house, and they take me in. Now, I was already so-called seasoned. I knew what time it was with what the Huras were going to do. They put me in a holding cell. And there's a camera on the holding cell. And I knew they were trying to see if I would pace, if I would act nervous or fidgety. So what I did is I went in there and I laid down. I grabbed a toilet paper roll, put it down behind my head, laid down, and pretended I fell asleep. And the Huras put up with this for about a half hour. And then I think they got tired of me. They got irritated. They got upset. So then they pulled me out, took me into the one in one of the interrogation rooms. And so when I went in there, the Hura was asking me about the murder, right? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, you know. But I knew that they knew I was there because they sent a task force after me, right? So earlier that day, I forgot to mention, they had been kicking in doors all over my neighborhood, asking for a specific person, one of my crimies. Somebody that I actually had a lot of respect for at the time. He was a newer dude in the neighborhood, but he had made a reputation for himself. And they were kicking in everybody's doors and they were asking for him. So I knew somebody had gave me up for them to come for me because they weren't coming for me, and I was already on, and I was on parole. So when they pulled me into the interrogation room, they started asking me about the murder. So I knew I couldn't play too dumb, but I had already had an alibi. Chino had told me, we had talked about a story we would tell, and you know he would back me up, and so that was a story I stuck to. For about 45 minutes, we went back and forth, back and forth. My story wasn't changing. I wasn't budging. And then the Huda says, well, you listen, I'm going to show you some pictures so you know that I'm not bullshitting. The first pictures he showed me were of the victim and his homeboys that were there that night. That didn't mean nothing to me, right? But then he scooped up those Polaroids and put them to the side. And he started laying down pictures of my homeboys that were there with me that night. And I'm just looking, you know, outwardly, nothing's changing. Inwardly, I was panicking. I was like, holy shit. Everybody in these fucking pictures was there with me that night. So I'm like, damn. So he's like, okay, this guy, we interviewed, we let him go. This guy's in the county. This guy's in the county. This guy's juvenile hall, county. You know, we interviewed them, let them go. And then he kept one picture in front of me. And it was the vato that they were kicking in doors looking for. And they told me, and this was, again, somebody that I respected, somebody that had put in work, somebody who was, he liked to shoot a lot. He liked to bust his gun a lot. Right? And they left his picture there on the table. And they told me, hey, this guy right here is willing to come in. He's down the hallway. For whatever reason, he's not in the county jail yet, but he's going. But he's willing to come in and talk to you and tell you to your face that you did it. And that's where I fucking, the first slip up I did. I looked at the detective. I said, man, my homeboys won't rat on me. And he goes, I'll be right back. Now, going back to what I said, I was making sure I was on camera. I wasn't doing any fidgeting. But when he walked out of that room, that hood, I was so sure of himself. I had a can of soda in front of me. There's no videotape, but there's audio. And when they play this audio in the courthouse, in the courtroom later, during my trial, you can hear a noise. Bing, 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 bing. And what it was, as soon as I walked out of that room, you know, the little cap on the soda cans and the beer cans that you pop to open it up. I was going like this to it. Bing, 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 bing. And it was something subconscious. I knew I was in trouble. But I didn't want to believe it. So I guess I was messing with that thing without even realizing it. And I remember the door opened up. And my crimey, this dude who had put in a lot of work, the dude that had earned my respect through work, through knocking fools out, enemigos out, through busting his gun on people. You know, he earned my respect that way, in that lifestyle. And he came in. And the detective came in, and there was me, there was a table, and it was him and the detective. And when he came in, I looked at him, and he put his head down. And when he put his head down, my fucking heart dropped to my stomach. And I said, hey, what's up? And he picked his head up, and he looked at me, and he said, you didn't have to kill him. And my heart dropped from my stomach to my fucking feet. I was like, what? And he said, you know, you might as well tell the Huras what really happened. He said, I already told them that I was shooting into the air and that you took the gun from me. He said, you didn't have to kill him, homie. He already ran from us. You shot him in the back of the head. Something along those lines, right? And I remember I looked at him, and I looked at the Jura, and I said, man, get this motherfucker out of here. So the answer to the question they had asked me, what happened to my crimes? Six of us were arrested for the murder. I'm the only one that didn't fucking cooperate. And I decided that I wanted to tell this story because in the current times, with inflation getting bad, crimes going up, people may think the streets are where your family's going to be, the family's going to be at. The streets are where the love's going to come from. The barrio's going to be right there for you. They're going to kill for you, die for you. But if you think that my story is unique, then you're wrong. The real love for you is from your family. Even if it's a dysfunctional family, they love you more than the streets ever will. My crime is all told on me. And they all went out on bail. And the main one that snitched on me, that came in and told on me in front of me, actually tried to smut me up. And I was fighting the death penalty and he was on bail. That's the way the game is. You know what I mean? I remember for a long time, man, I used to be like, I will hurt this motherfucker if I run into him. And then I came to a point in my life where I had to realize that everything that has ever gone wrong in my life was because of a poor decision that I made, a bad decision. I can't blame anyone else. That individual wasn't a gangster. He played with some gangsters. He got caught up with somebody who was really with it and realized, you know what? I'm not that guy. And he made a decision. He didn't kill that man, I did. He wasn't willing to do the time for me. And again, I'm telling this story because there's going to be those of you kids that see this video. You know, this is a video that parents should show their children, that tías should show to their nephews and their sons and whatever, man. The only person you can rely on in your life is you. If you rely on others, get ready to do a whole lot of time. So that's my story. That's what happened. You know, it is what it is, but you know what? At the end of the day, I became a better man because of it. But I promise you, you don't want to go through what I went through. You don't want to go through what those men behind those walls are going through right now. Be smart and learn from others' mistakes. Learn from other people's bad decisions. Love the ones who love you. All right? I'm out.